Hello all and welcome to the April 25th, 2023 Community Credentials Group meeting. So today we are pleased to have Gail Hodges and some others join us from the OpenID Foundation. We're going to get a nice overview of the foundation there, as well as kind of crossover since there's a lot of fun stuff going back and forth with work either incubated in this group or that has moved on from this group from incubation. And we personally use it a lot on our side, as well as some others. So I thought it would be a very good time to get that overview in, especially as the VC 2.0 working group kind of marches forward and we're starting to look at more exchange of verifiable credentials and different mechanisms and whatnot. Just a quick reminder that this meeting, along with all meetings at the W3C, are covered under the Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct, which I have linked in the chat. Basically, be kind to one another and make sure everyone has time and all that kind of fun stuff. This meeting is totally open to the public, and anyone can participate in these calls. But if you are contributing to a work item in the CCG, you must be a member of the CCG, and that is primarily for intellectual property rights reasons. So if you need to join, I have put the link in the chat there. These meetings, as per always, are posted up on our GitHub and are readily available. We do use the chat as well as the raised hand capability to monitor queue, and I, as the moderator, will be monitoring that queue. So I'm putting a quick text note from the meeting invite, but basically you can type Q plus Q, the letter Q followed by the plus symbol into the chat, and that will put you on the queue. And there's some other notes there. Quick pause for two items. First is intros and reintros. The second is announcements and reminders. But first off, is there anyone new to this group that has not been here before that would like to introduce themselves, or who has changed roles and would like to introduce themselves as part of their new role? Seeing and hearing none, I will move on to any announcements and reminders. Any relevant announcements for the community? And Kalia, take it away.
Hi. I'll just say we had a fabulous internet identity workshop last week, and we're working really hard on getting notes in. But the announcement, I have is the Digital Identity Unconference Europe is coming up in Zurich, June 7 to 9. I'll put a link in. And we're having two full days of open space technology, the method that we use at IIW. And it should be really a good opportunity for folks in Europe to get together and talk about all things digital identity and hopefully be a forum for all the eIDAS and EU digital wallet folks to talk amongst themselves.
Excellent. Thanks so much. And yeah, that's really good timing with all the active work going on eIDAS and, you know, related standards around, you know, credentialing and exchange of credentialing, ranging from the personal side on out. So thanks so much for arranging that. Any other announcements for the community? All right, cool. Well, with that, Gail, I'm going to hand it over to you as on point to intro the community or reintro the community to the OpenID Foundation and get us a nice little fun little overview here, and we'll go from there. So
sounds great. And time check, how much time did you want to offer?
Yeah, we've got some flexibility there. I would say let's shoot for 30 minutes and then kind of pause for Q&A at that point, and then we can go from there. So,
okay. Yeah. Sounds great. And I have a couple of members of the foundation who I don't think are regular W3C participants on with me. So Mark Hain, Torsten Lauterstedt, I think Christina Yasuda is often in these conversations, although I don't see her at the moment. So I think some of you levels of familiarity with our work. So what I wanted to do was kick us off with just like a two pages of overview on the foundation, a little bit on what in the area of identity or digital identity specifically. I have a little bit of a lens on the U.S. market, although, you know, there are extrapolations for the rest of the world. And then hopefully between Torsten, Christina, and Mark, we'll talk about a couple of the pages on OIDC for verifiable credentials, which I think has particular relevance. Torsten and Christina, this is building on your workshop presentation from last week that we shared publicly on last Monday. And I popped in a diagram that you usually use. And so we've got 4 or 5 pages there. But I think that's probably going to be one of the richer parts of the conversation. When I do the intro up front, I will speak to some of the other standards and white paper work that's happening within the foundation. Definitely want to draw that to your attention before we close. One of the papers, the comment period just concluded, but another paper is about to open up for public comment on May 2nd. Another paper shortly after that. So we definitely want to encourage this stakeholder group to provide your expertise as part of those journeys. So with that, I also have background papers. So if we want to jump deeper into GAIN or some of these other topics, I've got the material for that as well. All right, I'm going to try and push through the document. Let's see if I've got the power. Sharing my screen. Allow.
You are up. So.
Okay, I'm going to keep the tracker on the side. Let me know if this is coming across as too small for all of you. So big picture.
Yep, looking good. So, or at least all my.
Thanks, Mike. So what is the OpenID Foundation? We are a nonprofit identity open standards body. We revised our vision and our mission last year. Our vision is to help people assert their identity wherever they choose. And our mission is to lead the global community in creating identity standards that secure, interoperable, and privacy preserving. So I think we're although these are ambitious vision and missions, they are also intended to be us playing our natural role amongst a very complex community of nonprofit and third-party actors. So we just want to make sure we're playing our role and we're helping to engage with other thought leaders like your community. Our board is comprised of some obviously brand name recognition, well-known organizations. You might not be familiar with Chicago Advisory Partners, but they're basically representing the Central Bank of Brazil because of our work in open banking and open data. And of course, we have across our full membership of hundreds of entities that includes government stakeholders, nonprofit partners, and individuals as well. So we are, it only costs $50 to be a member of the foundation and have full voting rights. And you can contribute to the foundation standards at no cost just by signing a participation agreement. So that's important to the DNA of our organization, not only for our standards to be openly available, but also for there to be the lowest possible conceivable barrier to participation and still ensure that there's a safe space for any contributions, the legal protection and IPR agreement. We do have billions of users using our respective standards. Most of you would be most familiar with OpenID Connect and, you know, the use cases for login or enterprise access. We're also one of the leading standards for open banking and open data, which drives a lot of our government relationships. And I'll talk very briefly about that. Open health as well. Many of our standards have been selected by the health community in the UK, Norway, and here in the US. For digital identity, where I'll spend a little bit more time focused today, or we will spend more time on that, and shared signals. So if you're creating any sort of network, how do you, you know, share signals between the other entities within that community? In terms of government partnerships, we work very closely with numerous different countries around the world. Here are a handful of them. You can see in the U.S. context a bunch of acronyms, but NIST for standards, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, Consumer Finance Protection Board is the open banking and open data space, FinCEN and Treasury, you know, White House and others. The Open European Commission, particularly around the EU Digital Identity Wallet, where they selected some of our OpenID for verifiable credential standards in their recent architectural reference framework. We'll talk to that later today. I could have mentioned the California DMV. They've also selected some of our standards for use in a similar architecture to the EU. The UK, the Open Banking Implementation Entity, that's Open Banking, Open Data. And the other three are also Open Banking and Open Data focused. So Australia, Consumer Data Rights, and the ACCC is their Consumer Protection Group. Brazil, the Central Bank and Open Banking Brazil, and the same for Canada. So we've got a lot of direct engagement. And for many of those open banking and open data implementations, they not only select the standards, but they're also choosing to use our certification capabilities, which are basically self-certification at a super low price point. So trying to make it as accessible as possible for participants in the ecosystem to confirm that their implementations are aligned and conformant to the standards. And it usually runs between about $1,000 to $5,000 per implementation, which is, I think, substantially lower than one would see for commercial certification programs. In terms of this is what the strategic task force has been working on. This is kind of orienting our focus for this year. There's a few administrative items in here, but I'll start on the right side of the page. So those standards and those initiatives which already have internet scale. So OpenID Connect, our open banking and open data work, which is the FAPI standard, or a security profile, I should say, and our certification program. So those are quite mature, quite robust, and are really continuing to grow. Then in terms of crossing the chasm, those standards that are emerging but really moving rapidly up the adoption curve, we have OpenID Connect for verifiable credentials, OpenID Connect for identity assurance, and the shared signals framework, where we're kind of building the foundations, and this is where we kind of mix things up a little bit. Next generation is making sure we're really bringing in thought leadership from the next generation, whether in academia or young professionals kind of coming into this domain space. The GAIN work of the Global Assured Identity Network, we're the home of the proof of concept. So although that community group is self-organizing, we offer our IPR and our legal entity to help that group deliver on its objectives of interoperability of identity data across jurisdictions and implementations. And we're also an active participant on what's nicknamed the G6 for the GAIN initiative stakeholders, which is six nonprofits who are helping to steer the wider GAIN project. And iGov is a profile of OpenID Connect, particularly relevant for government implementations. Moderna is a version of the OpenID profile specific for mobile networks. And then agreeing the plan. So we have, as the OpenID Foundation joined, the Open Wallet Foundation is one of the founding nonprofits. We have a couple of key white papers, one on government and identity, and another on government-issued identity credentials and the privacy implications. Those are both racing towards their final versions now. The privacy white paper just closed its comment period yesterday on the 24th. And the government white paper that Mark Hain on this call and Elizabeth Garber are co-leading, that paper will open for public comment on the May 2nd through May 12th. So that will come shortly. And in both of those white papers, there have been more than six nonprofits who've provided their expertise, as well as interviews over 6 months, as well as public listening sessions at IIW, Authenticate, OpenID Foundation workshops, and various other forums to really try and have a global perspective on the movement that's underway right now. We also have a paper on IoT and identity, which is currently going to be a report to the board and potentially made public shortly at Identiverse. And that's looking at clearly the interfaces between those domains, between the things, as well as the carbon people. We have a new technical ambassador we've brought on board. That is Mark Hain. So that's great for the foundation to have his thought leadership as part of the core team. We'll be bringing on a marketing director. If some of you have ideas, please let me know. And we're improving, we're looking to make sure that our well-formed specification process is clearly articulated, and we're updating our website at the same time, so we're kind of making sure that our processes for specification is made public. We also have some work on health that we've done last year, and then there's some emerging areas around AI, Web3, where there's a lot of discussion as well. We want to make sure we're keeping on the pulse of that domain space as well. We also, recognize the importance of diversity. So what are, efforts we can do to support diversity in the community as a whole, and supporting end developers, right, the ones who are really putting this to work. So this is how we kind of think about, we have a bunch of different initiatives to try and deliver both the specifications as well as make sure that work is accessible and supporting the community as a whole. I'm then going to jump on to the next page. I've lost my cursor. There it is. which is just a little bit of Gail's take, really, on the U.S. model and one way of looking at it. as different flavors. And this is a page I've shared with, you know, some U.S. government officials in the past, which they found a little bit useful to orient themselves on some of the different options that are out there and how we fit in and how some of the other U.S. government efforts fit in. So the three kind of different categories I think about things is you might have a government issue credential that is government issued, right? It's maybe derived from created based on a digital version of the physical driving license or ID. There are a couple of leading standards, at least in the U.S. context, in person, you know, moving to online. That's started as the in-person environment. It's moving online. You have that kind of government root of trust or confidence. The government supports that provisioning, and you have the option to link to other types of government claims and credential types, which is pretty cool. And then you have two flavors of privately issued credentials. So you might have privately issued credentials that are, you know, derived using a government source like a DLDV from AMVA, or another direct access to a state or a federal system of record. And then you might have privately issued credentials and services. I say some of this with trepidation because I know some of you would probably react strongly to different words on the page. But, you know, trying to simplify it. Then for DHS and TSA, there's been some guidance for TSA checkpoints. So the first two categories of government issued or privately issued with a government source could be adapted to be conformant, so a user could present that credential at a TSA checkpoint to travel. Then for NIST, the 863-4 digital identity guidance, is looking, I think, to cover all three of those spectrums to help ensure that government entities would be able to consume digital identity information and apply appropriate levels of assurance and interpret their risk profile appropriately. And then from an OIDF perspective, we have a little bit of a foot in the game in all of those domains, right? So we see some of, depending on our standards, depending on the application, some of our specs can help support those implementations, help underpin them. So we sit across quite a few different spaces. At this point, Christina and Torsten, thought I'd point to you. As you can see, I've got a couple of pages on what we shared last week, as well as the diagram. Are you comfortable picking up and taking a few of these pages to share?
Christina, do you want to go first or do you want me to take it?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So hello, everybody. I'm Torsten. I think I have been here a couple of months ago to present OpenID. And I'm happy to give an update on the work around OpenID for verified credentials. I'm one of the co-authors, beside Christina, Tobias Luca, Laura Turbu. All of them, I think, are well known in this community. So OpenID for Verified Credentials objective is to define a protocol family that can be used in the what we call the issue holder verify model or decentralized identity model, or you can use it just to create or issue and present verifiable credentials. We've got a couple of specs underway, and by the way, I think we have a presentation scheduled already for the whole protocol family, I think in a couple of weeks. So there we will go into detail. This is just intended to give you a quick overview. So I would prefer to go to the next slide. I think that's better suited for an overview. Yep. Thank you.
This is the formatting is still not quite right, is it, Torsten? I think it might be hiding.
Let's ignore that for a moment. So if you take a moment on the look under the conceptual architecture of a decentralized identity system, you've got issuers, you've got wallets or act on behalf of the user that you see on the top of the page, and you've got verifiers. And right now we've got five different specifications living in that space. On the left-hand side, for the interface between the issuer and the wallet, we've got OpenID for verifiable credential issuance, which, as the name suggests, is an API that is used to issue verifiable credentials. Most notably, all the protocol family is credential format agnostic, so you can use this API, for example, to issue JSON-LD-based credentials. You can issue JOTS. You can issue as selective disclosure, JOTS, NOCREDS, whatever you want. You can profile the stuff for that purpose. And on the right-hand side, you see the protocols that are used on the interface between the wallet and the verifier. We've got OpenID for Verify presentations, which is the base protocol for presenting verifiable presentations. And we've got self-issued OPV2, which is a protocol to use the wallet for pseudonymous authentication using key material in the wallet towards the verifier. So SIOV2 is not related directly related to credentials. It is about authentication using the wallet in a very privacy-preserving manner. And then we've got a new addition to the protocol family, which is OpenID for verifiable presentations over Bluetooth Low Energy. We're very, very excited about that because that is a specification that allows the presentation of credentials in scenarios that sometimes are called offline, sometimes are called proximity. Always is all about if you, for example, enter a space and someone wants to check your permission to enter that space, then you can use your smartphone and the wallet on your smartphone to present that credentials in a very secure fashion, because through BLE, we can have a challenge response protocol that also allows us to really present proof with cryptographic holder binding. We have presented the first prototype or demoed the first prototype at IRW. It was very well received. And then we've got as an underpinning a document that describes the overall trust model. This is very important because in the end, since we are assuming we have some assumptions around how issue and wallet cooperate to really implement a secure issuance, the verifier, for example, can rely on those parties to get it right. So we have documented a trust model. And on top of that, there's also a systematic security analysis of the overall protocol family. Both documents are in an early stage. They are up for review in the working group. So if you, for example, also would like to chime in, your feedback would be very, very much appreciated. But that holds true for all the specifications. What do we have else? Or perhaps if there are, Mike, are there any questions right now?
Not yet at this time, and I'll jump in if something pops up. I'm watching the queue. So,
okay, thanks a lot. So please go to the next.
Or where would you like to go next?
So this is No. Go back, please.
Okay.
So, and I think that should be that. No, please the milestone slide.
Milestone. Apologies. Thank you.
Yeah, there seems to be a pretty hard delay. Okay. So, and I think that should be the last slide for introduction.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a really comprehensive plan for the next 12 months. So we first of all would like to bring all the core specifications for issuance, presentation, and authentication through what we call the implementer's draft, which in OpenID processes is the process where the whole membership reviews the specification, also votes on the specification. And the voting for OpenID for verified presentations is on. So if you're a member of the OpenID Foundation, please vote. And subsequently, we will bring the issuance spec and also the SIOP spec to the voting. And as you can see, after each of those individual implementers draft votings, we will also start to implement the respective conformance tests. So right now we are preparing the conformance tests for OpenID for VP. And Gail mentioned also our philosophy along those lines. So what we do or what has become a good best practice at OpenID Foundation is to have this automatic conformance tests that people can use to self-test and certify their components or products. That is one of the reasons why interoperability across different implementations of OpenID Connect Core is what it is today. And we hope we can achieve a comparable degree of interoperability between different implementations of the OpenID for VC protocol family as well. On the lower part of the slide, you also see very important projects that we will be conducting this year. So in addition to the systematic security analysis that we already have been or have started to conduct a couple of months ago, there is also now a formal security analysis, meaning there is a scientific analysis based on a formal model of the protocols for OpenID for VP and OpenID for verifiable credential issuance that's being conducted right now as we are speaking at the University of Stuttgart. And what is very important for us going forward this year is to support the NIST project and also the European Union's eIDAS initiative going forward. I would also like to mention that one of the outcomes of the IRW last week was that we will be working on a high assurance profile of OpenID for verifiable credential issuance in combination with selective disclosure charts and support for MDoc. And with that, perhaps, Gail, you could go to the 12th slide so people can perhaps...
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Scan the QR code. Thank you very much. So if you want to vote on the OpenID for VP implementers draft, please do so. And with that, yeah, happy to take questions. Or Christina, if you want to add anything.
Great. Well, happy to see if anyone in the CCG has additional questions. Feel free to pop them in the chat. And Mike, you can help us pull them out since I can't see the chat while presenting. Hopefully everyone will take the moment to snap the picture. And if you're a member to please vote, so we can keep that work moving along, particularly in support of the EU, California and New South Wales, all of which you have selected this standard as government partners. And of course, many private players have also been working and selected the standard. So exciting times. Thank you, Torsten and Christina. Let's move on. Maybe Mark, you can just share a few headlines. I think you briefed this group recently on EKYC and IDA working group, which is the OpenID Connect for Identity Assurance standard. You also have a spec open for voting. So we can, jumping around a little bit. There you go. Maybe you can give a few of the headlines. Mark, this is also the content you shared at the workshop last week.
Yes. So not open for voting at the moment, actually, but soon with any luck. As I said, I think about a month ago, when I attended here, I've been chairing this working group for a little while, and we're getting close to the final review, hopefully, for OpenID Connect for Identity Assurance. And, the key thing I just want to highlight again is that we're, working along with a number of, the community here to bring a key component of that across into the verifiable credentials space as well. So Torsten, Christina, and others have been helping with that. I met Oliver Terbu last week at IAW, and he's advising me on how to bring the proposal that I was talking about last time more formally under the W3C governance. So I'm quite looking forward to moving that forward. And thanks to everybody who's had input on that already in the somewhat out of governance Google Doc that I presented last time. There's a few other specs which are much earlier in their life cycle, in progress under this working group as well. Yeah, thanks, Gail. Advanced syntax for claims is looking at how to request much more granular and data minimized claims from the identity provider. OpenID Connect for Authority is addressing some of the cases for just improving the representation of on behalf of, both on behalf of legal entity and on behalf of other natural person. And we've started talking in more detail about how to profile the IDA specification to allow for better interoperability of things like representation of driving license or representation of NIST as an assurance process. I'm struggling to remember all the slides that we had last time, Gail, so let's just press forward.
We have the working group progress challenges and then really the roadmap, but I think you also are trying to lean into protocol agnostic, you know, approaches here, right? So despite
absolutely.
Maybe you can talk about that.
Well, that really is in large part what we're trying to do with the W3C integration, or maybe not integration. There's this, the W3C draft that, that I presented here about a month ago, whereby we're taking the schema under IDA spec and being able to present that as a type of evidence under the verifiable credential data model 1.1. From a roadmap perspective, thank you, Gail. We're looking to get to final in this quarter, or this final review process started in this quarter. I know a colleague here who's working on SDJOT, which may be of interest to you guys as well, is also working on the Advanced Syntax for Claims draft. That's Daniel Fett. And I think those are the ones that are kind of key. But just to reiterate the point, quite a lot of what we're doing in this working group is focused on representing different aspects of identity, like assurance level, like authority to act. And those things, I think, have merit in being reused across multiple protocols.
Very good. Do a segue now, because I know time is tight. And Mark, I'll tap you to kind of riff a little bit on the OpenID government's, the white paper, which, although this is branded OpenID, has actually had more than five different nonprofit entities and a swath of experts from around the world contributing to it. I'll do the intro, Mark, and then I'll ask you to talk about the country mapping and the key principles and recommendations. Since Elizabeth's not here, I'll pretend I'm her. So the one of the objectives of the white paper, you know, was to make sure that it was grounded in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and that was a starting point regardless of the jurisdiction around the world that you were thinking about digital identity. That was a crucial, you know, starting point. And then the co-authors have been doing rigorous review of all of the literature that's available. Most recently, the OECD published draft recommendations on the governance of digital identity infrastructure. And so to really try and build upon this excellent, you know, due diligence that's been established, and to try and, you know, consolidate that into, you know, a view of the landscape and what are sensible recommendations for government officials that are looking to kind of go through this journey. Mark, maybe you can talk a little bit about the plotting here, and then I'll go to page 41, which is the recommendations.
Okay, yeah. So one thing that we've tried to do, particularly in this diagram, is to try and draw out that there are different governance and deployment models, and that if we plot those two dimensions on the axis of a graph, we are able to see where different countries lie. Where in this case, we have governance on the vertical and centralized versus decentralized across the horizontal. And that gives us an interesting view of where the different implementations are falling in this graph. You could use this as a tool if you were a government stakeholder to ponder where your government's policy would like to have you land. I think that's probably sufficient. I think there's clearly some clustering going on. There's the centralized and very centrally governed. Sorry, we'll stay with that for one moment. On top left, examples like India spring to mind. Top right, we're looking at the central governance, but a more decentralized architecture, a la the proposed European Digital Identity Programme. And then Norway, Sweden, and the UK are accommodating more centralized ground where there's some distributing or brokering of digital identity exchange and more shared governance between private sector and public sector. Next slide, please, Gail. And then this slide really is keep sharing that we are focusing quite hard on a bunch of recommendations that came out of the OECD white paper, not white paper, digital identity guidelines. They're very concise and very powerful as a result of that, extremely well written. So we're jumping on that as a fantastic leaping off point, and then looking to expand on some of those areas with more specificity.
Yeah. And that's where the rest of the pages went, right, Mark? Which was kind of like trying to draw out at IIW some feedback from the community. You know, it was great to have 20, 30 people in the room, you know, to provide their perspective and help enrich, you know, how far down should we go in terms of this guidance, knowing that it's global guidance. You can't take the value system of just one jurisdiction and apply it to others. You know, it needs to really work. And build upon, you know, how you deliver on the OECD principles, right, Mark? I think it'd be great to get this community feedback coming in, you know, when it goes public.
Yep.
And I think, Mike, ProRock, that probably brings us to a pause, you know, to see if there's any other questions.
I'm not seeing anyone on the queue, but now is a great time. Are there any kind of questions from the community? I know there's been a lot of back and forth with OADC, and I know a lot of times there's almost this dichotomy that will get built up that will say, oh, yeah, well, we just deal with the human side. We're looking at one particular method, or we're looking just at system to system, and they're more API-related, but clearly OADC you know, flows across a lot of these different items. So any questions from the community here? And if not, I definitely have a question. Maybe I'll start there, which is, I obviously, not seeing anyone hopping on the queue. For my own edification, obviously, open data comes up a lot in the context of OpenID as a foundation, but it seems to be still mostly focused around banking, right, and that kind of information. So are there any, you know, given the amount of emphasis going on open data in other areas and things like that, I mean, is there a plan to expand out, you know, put broader engagement in place, or are there things going on that just aren't really visible or accessible from the website that folks should be thinking of? And I'm thinking especially because of things like the traceability vocab and then other efforts like we take in, day job-wise around things like agricultural data and health data and things like that. So.
Yeah, I'm happy to riff on that a little bit, Mike. So you're quite right that a lot of the orientation around open data has really started in banking, but it really is moving cross vertical. At least that's, you know, what we see. Clearly for open health, that's one of the key drivers, although that tends to be different government stakeholders who are driving the thinking on open health. We do see, you know, whether it's Australia or Brazil, like Brazil has gone from open banking into open insurance. So that's a half step. We're seeing in Australia the movement going into utilities and telecom and so forth. So it's really consumer data rights is the way that a market like Australia is approaching it. So it kind of is, you know, depends on where it's originating. If you're here in the U.S., clearly it's really a focus on banking at the moment, with the rulemaking by the CFPB that's underway this calendar year, with clear commitments to make that happen. The same thing in Canada, right? It's a focus on open banking. But I think that we're likely to see, you know, more and more movement into the consumer data right perspective. And from our perspective, it's protocol agnostic. Right. So the FAPI security profile would work across different verticals. It really doesn't matter what you're putting through that secure pipe. It could be different types of data structures, different verticals. So if you'd like, I could give a couple of pages update on where that work is globally, because we've got a little bit in here in terms of the different countries. But I think I'll actually pause presenting and bring up a different page to talk about the multiple different countries. That are like what we're actually doing with that. So let me pause this presentation and see if there's any questions along the way.
Yeah, I guess related to that, you know, thinking about open health and stuff like that, I mean, one of the areas we deal with is monitoring disease reporting globally, right? And that's from a One Health perspective, so not just human, but also animal, livestock, et cetera. And that's an area where, despite a lot of efforts, especially on like agriculture and invasive species stuff, there is still no defined, you know, like schemas, formats, vocabs, et cetera, that are actually in use on that. And so is that an area you see your members actually participating actively on and actually getting buy-in on? Or is that just an area that, like, as it moves off, this research is in a certain area, might improve over time, things like that?
So I haven't heard about the agricultural use case and movement yet. I'd be intrigued, Mike, to chat with you offline and see what you're hearing. Yes. So I think you've been close to that supply chain, you know, conversation with Danielle John on DHS. But if it's kind of starting to kind of cascade into agriculture, I think that's really intriguing, you know, where that's perking up, because it can be a crossover between the government issue credentials as well as the open data domain, as well as potentially also IoT, as you're thinking about how these are gating some of the movement of goods. I think there's an interesting confluence there.
Okay. Can I just jump in with a thought, actually? I know that in healthcare in Norway, there's been quite a bit of work about use of OpenID Connect and quite a lot of inspiration drawn from the financial grade API profile as well. So there are small green shoots there, I would say, of the use of those specs in that context.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. I might do a little digging around on that. So,
Well, I can probably do better than that for you, Mike. If you're specifically interested, introductions can be made.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so I'll try and do this in the 2-minute version. So we can obviously share this deck out or ask any, you know, respond to any specific questions. But FAPI, you know, is looking on developing the security profile to move, you know, the data on a consent-based way between the users and the other ecosystem participants. Sometimes it's called data free flows with trust. Sometimes it's called open banking and open data. It's got a lot of names, but it's really the same underlying objective. And the FAPI framework, security profile is designed to cover like all the key aspects. And as we mentioned for the OIDC for VC work, it's so important to have the security analysis across the, you know, the protocol end to end. And that's important work, which both FAPI 1 and now FAPI 2 have been through the security analysis also with the University of Stuttgart. So, very exciting work. And, FAPI 2 is moving to final in the days and months ahead. In terms of countries, it's very, you know, wide partnership and engagement, which is what I had alluded to at the beginning. So whether that's the UK with the OBIE, and that's mostly open banking, but I think they're looking to extend Brazil for open finance and Brazil for open insurance. They've selected the standard. They've also mandated the conformance on both sides of the transaction for the OPs, the OpenID providers, as well as the relying parties, which is really exciting. They also, you know, Brazil also decided to become a board member, which is great to make sure that they're taking part in the global conversation. We also know that this work is cascading around Latin America with Chile, Colombia, and Mexico expected to be next, and other countries are very much you know, passing legislation and moving at the same time. Australia and New Zealand are both moving on open banking and open data, the consumer data rights work. They've also, you know, selected the standards of the foundation and are also contemplating using the certification capabilities to build on what they already have. Saudi Arabia has selected the standards and is also collaborating with us on certification. Canada is going through their kind of rulemaking and their refinement process as we speak. You know, they're I think feels likely that they'll continue to want to work with the FAPI security profile and figure out, you know, what that means for the FDX community and implementations. The same thing here in the U.S. We've been formally briefing the CFPB and commenting on their rulemaking. And I think they're trying to work out what good looks like here. And then Norway has selected the standard for health. So it's kind of sitting across the piece. Cool. And about those from UK to Saudi Arabia, they've all chosen to use the foundation certification support. The others either don't, I think they pretty much don't have certification at the moment.
Right. So that's, no, it makes total sense. And running a bit of change of track, I see a question in from Sandy here. So Sandy, fire away.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if my mic is working okay. But basically, my question is that I I understand that Microsoft has been working in close collaboration here. I'm sure maybe Christina could answer the question, but is Entra working in collaboration with the OIDF principles and certifications?
So is the question whether Microsoft implementations are certified?
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just because I know you're having some mic break up there, at least on my side. But looking back to the question, I think also the overlap between Entra and OIDC and like how closely are these things related from both an implementation. I'm not sure necessarily on the certification side, Sandy, if that's an intricate error as well.
I mean, bottom line, Microsoft is only one company implementing a standard standardized in OpenID Foundation. Nothing less, nothing more.
Yeah.
When the certification comes out, Microsoft will try to be certified just like any other entity, be it government or private entity, they'll try to be certified. That's it. Nothing special.
That makes sense, Christina.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I'll drop this off the page here. Stop presenting.
Sounds good. And if you have shareable versions of these two presentations, it'd be great if you could drop them on the mailing list after this, just so folks can reference if they need to. And if not, we can always roll back to the recording, but it's nice if we can... point to presentation should be needed to reference it. Any other questions on the queue for Gail, Mark and team on, Torsten, et cetera, on the OIDC OpenID Foundation side of things?
Great. Well, maybe I can just put in the chat my contact information in case anyone has follow-up questions. And delighted to have the opportunity to share some of our work with you and looking forward to further collaboration.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks so much again and really appreciate the time. We did want to serve Keith, you're on the queue here. Oh, or was that a clap and hit the hands up?
Cool.
Yeah, the chairs did want to reserve a few minutes at the end here since we just rolled out IIW just for open queue of any thoughts, impressions, feedback, items to take note of for the community that may be evolving out of IIW last week. So I'm going to just open the queue and monitor at this point. Kalia, fire away.
I mean, I think something that was interesting was that we saw six different sessions that had AI in them. I'm in one of them. I didn't go to any of the other ones, but I'm hoping to sort of actually think it would be interesting to have a community call where AI was subject and people talked about it, maybe. I don't know. It's a thought.
That is an excellent thought from at least selfish perspective as someone who's been working in machine learning ended up getting called machine learning for most of my career. So I am happy to work with the chairs to schedule that. If there are others interested in that topic, feel free to definitely fire a thread onto the list and or email myself, and the other chairs directly, if that's a topic of interest. I think there are a lot of intersection points with what we're calling AI. At the minimum, even things like taking plain text and converting it into credentials. There's a lot of credential applications around sources of training data and things like that as well. Joe, I see you on the queue.
I actually jumped on the queue before Kalia started talking, but I totally agree with her. I think part of what was interesting for me about AIIW was it does seem to be the seed of a whole new sort of application of identity and what the overlap is there or how they help or hinder each other is a huge open issue, from fraudulent identities, right, deep fakes, to how can you use decentralized identifiers to participate in a public commons where the data that builds these foundational models are a shared asset, and we have attribution based on using DIDs. So all sorts of innovative thoughts and ideas, all very, very young, but I think it's going to be a hotbed of innovation. I would love to have a meeting here.
Yeah. No, thanks for that, Joe. And that's something we touch on for sure on our side with, like, National Science Foundation. I know Matter has as well in the past. Mark, I see you on the queue.
Yeah, I think it's got an interesting crossover, this space, into identity of things. I intentionally say identity, not internet. Important sub categorization there, I feel. And whether those AIs in the broadest sense are acting for themselves, or whether they are indeed acting on behalf of ultimately some natural person or legal entity. End of thought.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. There's a lot there. It's for sure. I think we'll definitely, as chairs, you know, take that as a note and try to slot something in. Obviously, we have some of us who work very directly in that field as members of this community. At least myself, I'm connected to a number outside this community that also work on this. And I think there's overlap with other W3C items like the Web Machine Learning Group and things like that where this applies as well. So it's definitely a topic we're seeing more of. Anyone else on the queue get kind of a last chance to close us out here? And otherwise, we'll end in 30 seconds here. Give it just a last little bit here. Gail, you're up.
Yeah, I just
mute you, so you may have to unmute because you were feedback.
Yeah. So I just put into the chat and shared last week in one of those sessions that Kalia mentioned, the one that Dimitri co-hosted from MIT, that the OpenID Foundation Board had asked for a report. And I haven't worked out exactly how to create such a report on the intersection of AI and identity. But to get, you know, a read of the landscape and potentially start nudging into the areas of opportunity. And I'm sure some of you are hearing, you know, a lot of questions from government stakeholders as well as clearly private individuals who are quite concerned about this space. So I'm certainly trying to work out optimal ways to synthesize it. So if you have expertise in this space, please do let me know.
Yeah, Gail, if you want to just connect me in, I mean, obviously I can get up with Dimitri, but if you want to get a little email thread going with myself, for sure, we have definite overlap with a number of our customers, both in the commercial space and the government space, and there's a lot of overlap between standards on this stuff, so. Excellent. Well, cool. With that, I'm just going to say happy Tuesday to everyone. Please enjoy the rest of your day. Really appreciate the time from Gail and Mark and Torsten, everyone hopping on, and Christina, obviously, as always. And with that, I'm going to stop recording. We will talk again next week. So thank you all.